Amen. Appreciate that.
I want to encourage these young people to just keep practicing, keep singing. Well, I forgot some things this morning. I'm glad Brother Strode announced the taping next Sunday. We do need people to go and be in the choir. Brother Strode is the only one that's ever driven it in an hour. It'd take you a little bit more than an hour, but he's right. You ought to, allow yourself at least an hour and 15 minutes to make the drive. But let's do remember that we are supposed to go tape next Sunday afternoon for the old-fashioned gospel hour. And also, I forgot about Brother Ernie's Sunday school pen. So we're going to turn it over to him now and let him pass out the Sunday school pens. Man.
It's important. I think I maybe said this last year, to get our kids started off and get them grounded in the Lord. Man, there's so much going on in the world today that need the Lord to be with them.
Mm-hmm.
And to help them. There's no better place to do that than get them started in church. Want to thank everybody. So, with all that being said, we're going to go with the first year pens. Go to Ava Lee Shuffit. And Elizabeth Pope. Second year pens. Carter Qualls. Tyler Miller. Stanford. Austin Merritt. Can't get over here. Right here. Good gracious. 13th year, Noah Hoss. Kirsten Waters.
Thank you, Brother Ernie. Well, as always, I'm much in need of your prayers today. I want to call your attention to a scripture reading today found in the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 23. If you have your Bibles and would care to read along with me today, please turn to Luke chapter 23, and I want to begin reading there with verse 26. Luke chapter 23, beginning with verse 26. And as they led him away, they laid hold upon one Simon, a Cyrenian, coming out of the country, and on him they laid the cross, that he might bear it after Jesus. And there followed him a great company of people and of women, which also bewailed and lamented him. But Jesus, turning unto them, said, Daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming, in the which they shall say, Blessed are the barren and the wombs that never bear, and the paps which never gave suck. Then shall they begin to say to the mountains, Fall on us, and to the hills, Cover us. For if they do these things in a green tree, what shall be done in the dry? And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers with them derided him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, This is the king of the Jews. And one of the malefactors which were hanged, and one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. And that's reading in Luke 23, verses 26 through 43 for a scripture reading this morning. And also want to use a verse today that's found in the 27th chapter of the Gospel according to Matthew. When Pilate had Jesus before him, and he was asking what the will of the people was concerning him. Should I let Barabbas go? Should I let Jesus go? And in Matthew chapter 27, verse 22, it says, Pilate saith unto them, What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all say unto him, Let him be crucified. And so they had made it known, the people had made it known to Pilate that their desire was that he would release the criminal, that he would release Barabbas. And so he asked them, then what shall I do with Jesus, which is called Christ? And I want to use that today for a title and for my thought. You know, I'm convinced that Pilate asked a question there that everybody is going to have to deal with. Everybody is going to have to decide what you are going to do with Jesus. Because you're going to have to do something with the Lord Jesus. You're going to have to either believe him or not believe him, seek him or reject him, but there is no middle ground. There is no gray area there. And I also want to read having said that, I also want to read just a couple of verses from the fourth chapter of the Hebrew letter, verses 12 and 13. It says, For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now listen, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. And so, as I said, Pilate's question is something that we're going to all have to deal with individually. What are you going to do with Jesus, which is called Christ? I want us to go back to the verses that I read in the 23rd chapter of Luke. And just in summary, think about the situation here. there were three men that were being led away to be crucified. They were going to suffer perhaps one of the cruelest or perhaps maybe the cruelest way that there was to die. They were being led away to suffer death by crucifixion. Two of them were criminals, and the other one was Jesus, the only begotten Son of God. Jesus was right where he was supposed to be. He was getting ready to do what had been foreordained from the foundation of the world. He was getting ready to go and die for the sins of the world. He was just exactly where he was supposed to be. He was getting ready to make that sacrifice, the only sacrifice that God would accept as an atonement for the sins of the world. The other two were there because of the crimes that they had committed. They were being dealt with justly, as the one said, even by his own admission to the other, we receive the due reward of our deeds. They were going to be punished for the crimes that they had committed. There were people that were all around them. There were people, as we have read here, there were people that were there witnessing these three being led away there to Calvary, outside of the city, to be crucified. And these people that were there, all of them there in the presence of the Savior of the world, in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they were acting all different kinds of ways. They were doing all different sorts of things. Some of them, as the Bible tells us here, there were some of them that stood by and they derided him, which means they were laughing at him. They were mocking him. They were ridiculing the Lord Jesus Christ. And some of them were casting lots to see who would get his garment. And some of them were busy placing that above his head, that superscription above his head. There were some that were just rebuking him, and they were just doing all sorts of different things with Jesus, when really what they should have all been doing was calling on him. They should have all been crying out to him for the salvation that he was able to give, but yet they were not doing that. They were making fun of him. And so they got to the place there where they were going to crucify the three of them. They put Jesus in the middle. They put one of the malefactors, one of the criminals, on his right side, one of them on his left side. Both of these men, sinners, both of them in the same condition, both of them about to face the same judgment and the same punishment for their sins, and yet two completely different attitudes. Let's think about how this turned out for each of them. And you know, I want you to think about this if you're here today and you're lost. I want you to think about how things are going to turn out for you. Because that's all going to depend upon what you do with the Lord Jesus Christ. How things turn out for you at the end of this life and through all eternity, how things turn out with you is going to depend upon how you deal with Jesus. Whether you seek him or whether you don't. And so here were these men, as I said, both facing the same condemnation, both facing the same situation, both guilty as they could be, both guilty of the crime, both sinners. One of them rebukes the Savior of the world. He said, if you're the Christ, if you are, he obviously didn't believe that he was, but he said, if you're the Christ, and I'll have to tell you, I believe that what he said there was just dripping with sarcasm. Well, if you're the Christ, why don't you save yourself? He wasn't looking to Jesus for any eternal deliverance. He was just mocking him and saying, well, if you're who you're supposed to be, why don't you just get us down from this cross? Why don't you just deliver us from what we're getting ready to face here? He wasn't putting any faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He was just being sarcastic towards him. And the other one, the Bible tells us, the other one, actually, the other person there, the other criminal there that was also guilty of the same thing and also in the same situation, actually rebuked the one that was mocking Jesus, and he asked him, do you not fear God? Do you not fear God, seeing that we are in the same condemnation? Seeing thou art in the same condemnation. You know, something that has really left us, it seems, people more and more all the time have less and less fear of God. And that's dangerous. That's very, very dangerous. Dost thou not fear God? Well, he didn't. He just, like I said, he just chose to make fun of him. He said, we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. We're dying here. We are facing crucifixion because we have, we deserve this. We are facing exactly the punishment because we are guilty of the crime. Listen, if you're ever going to be saved, you're going to have to realize that you're a sinner. You're going to have to realize that you are guilty, guilty, guilty before an almighty God. You're going to have to realize that the condition that you're in is because you're a sinner. You're a sinner. You're not worthy of Jesus. Nobody's worthy of Jesus. Nobody's worthy of salvation. Nobody has done anything to earn it. Listen, when we are lost and in our sins and we are on our way to eternal destruction, we are getting just exactly what we're worthy of. We're getting just exactly what we deserve. But God is gracious, and God is merciful, and He's willing to save. And this thief here, this criminal here, he realized that he was just about to get exactly what he had coming to him for his crimes. And he did the wisest thing that anybody can ever do. He turned to Jesus. And he asked him for mercy. Lord, see, that was a lot different. He had a lot different attitude about Jesus than what the other one had, didn't he? He believed that Jesus was the Lord. The other one was saying, well, if this is who you are, why don't you prove it to us? If this is who you are, why don't you get us down from the cross? This other one, this man looked at Jesus, realizing that he was getting what he deserved, and he said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. He believed that Jesus was getting ready to go to his heavenly kingdom, didn't he? He believed that he was getting ready to ascend after his crucifixion to the place where he would sit down at the right hand of God. He believed it. Remember me when you come there. Remember me when you come into your heavenly kingdom. And Jesus said, today, you shall be with me in paradise. Now, these men, they were both crucified. You know, we can go on and we can study the scriptures and we can find out that all three of them, the two malefactors and Jesus, all three of them, they died. They were not, you know, none of them were delivered from this. They all died. Jesus was the first one among them that died there on the cross. But they all faced that natural death. But it turned out so much different for the one criminal than it did the other one. One of them, they were both in very undesirable conditions. They were both dying a cruel way to die, a torturous way to die. They were both dying a painful way to die. But one of them, when he died there on the cross, he experienced just what Jesus told him he would. He went to heaven to be with God. The other one, because that he had just ridiculed the Lord, mocked the Lord, made fun of him, didn't believe in him, didn't turn out well for him. We preach Jesus and him crucified. That's what this church has taught all the years that she's been in existence. That's what this church has taught. That's what this church has stood for. That's what men that have stood behind the pulpit here have preached. Jesus and him crucified. Jesus, the way of salvation. And many people have sat under the sound of the gospel through the efforts of Fairview Memorial Missionary Baptist Church throughout the years and have responded in different ways, haven't they? I'll tell you what, if you will come to the Lord Jesus today, and if you'll meet his conditions today, you can be saved today. Jesus told that thief, he told that man, that was there on the cross about to die, he told him, because of his repentance, because of his trust in the Lord, he told him, you're going to be with me today. You're going to experience heaven. You're going to experience paradise today. You're going to be with me in the place that I have prepared for my people. You know, there are still people today, just like there was then. God have mercy on their souls. There are still people today that make fun of Jesus. They make light of Jesus. They mock him. They disbelieve him. They say there's nothing to that stuff. There's nothing to what people tell you about being saved. There's nothing, I can't stand this hellfire brimstone preaching. There's nothing to that stuff. There's people today doing the same thing that people were doing the day that they crucified him. I don't want anything to do with it. Pilate said, well, I'll just wash my hands of the whole thing. You can't do that, can you? You can't just wash your hands of the whole thing. What are you going to do with Jesus? What are you going to do? Are you going to seek him until you make heaven your home? Are you going to seek him until you know that you have been saved by his grace? Or are you going to push him away? Are you going to reject him until it becomes too late? And listen, as the old saying goes, the ball is in your court. The decision is yours. You have to decide what you're going to do with Jesus, which is called Christ. The one thief made the right choice. He made the right choice. He looked at himself for what he really was. He looked at himself for the sinner that he truly was, and just made full acknowledgement that he was getting exactly what he deserved, but yet he knew and believed that Jesus would have mercy upon him. And so he cried out to him, and that's exactly what he got. He got mercy. And he died on the cross and went immediately to heaven to be with Jesus. And a bad situation turned out all right. You see, what happens to us, folks, and where we spend eternity is a lot more important than what happens to us here. Time is short. We're only here for just a little while. This is all temporary. We may lose sight of that. We may get caught up in our everyday life and lose sight of that. But friends, remember, this life and all of the things concerning this life, this is all temporary. There's a time approaching when none of us that are sitting here today will even be here in time. We'll be gone. We'll be gone. We'll be gone into eternity. You'll be gone, friend. When, only the Lord knows, but this is all temporary. You need to be ready. You need to be ready for what's ahead. Let's have a song. What will you do with Jesus? He is the Christ. He is the Christ. He is the Savior of the world. And he's the only one. He's the only one that can help you. while we stand and sing.